begin. We're up to Mishlei Perek Gimel. We did yesterday Pasuk Lamed Hey. Okay, yesterday we did the Pasuk of Im Laleitzim Hu Yalitz V'Lanav Midin Chayim. And now we come to Pasuk of Lamed Hey. Kavod Chacham Yimchalu Chasilim Meirim Kolon. The Chacham will inherit honor, and the fools will Meirim will select, will be mafresh. Kolon is shame. Let's see the Mitzudas Pasuk Lamed Hey. Meirim miloshon yinchalu noichlem liatzmam hakava. They inherit for themselves. So the difficulty Rashi is coming to comment, and the word yinchalu means to inherit. Normally that are two generations. A father bequeaths his possessions to the next generation. So over here, what does it mean that the chacham will inherit? When it comes to chokhmah is not something which you inherit. Either you earn it, you earn your own wisdom, or you have nothing. It's nothing which you can inherit. And so when it comes to honor, what's the honor? So Rashi, the Mesudas indeed says that's a very difficult point, and we have no choice but to say that the word yincholu is not used in its ordinary sense of inheritance from a previous generation. It means to acquire on your own private and a private acquisition. Noichalim li'atzmam, they take for themselves honor through their own. I mean, it is an inheritance because it's something which is secondary. You don't go out to the world and seek honor. You go out to the world and you seek to accomplish things of value, and then mimela, the honor comes as a byproduct of your prowess. So that's why the word yinchalu here is being used. Right? It just wants to point out that it's not being used in its ordinary sense of taking something from the previous generation. Just because your father was a chacham does not mean that the next generation will give you any honor. In fact, they're not going to give you any honor just because of your father. You have to earn it on your own. But here it means that if you study wisdom for its own sake, then memela people will give you honor as a byproduct. On the other hand, the wicked people, meirim kolon kol echad mafresh hakolon lechelko. Each foolish person actually takes the foolishness, takes shame into his possession. So notice the difference. It's a subtle difference, but it speaks volumes. The kesil, he directly acquires the shame. Whereas the chachamim, they don't directly acquire honor. Honor, kavod and kolon are extreme opposites. Honor, I mean, their reputation, for good and for bad, they're opposites in that respect. The chachamim don't seek honor; they seek wisdom. As a byproduct, they acquire honor, which is what we're calling the inheritance. But the fools directly acquire shame. It's not suddenly they have to do something foolish, and then people will say about them, "What an idiot! What?" Yeah.
Kol ha-boreach
min ha-kavod, kavod boreach, kavod chases. Right.
And instead acquires disgrace. There,
but it's the word meirim is in contrast to the word yincholu. These two words are in contrast and means to directly take for themselves. Their behavior results in instant shame. That's the difference. The subtle difference in these two words. Let's see. Rashi pasuk lamed hey, kavod chachamim yincholu uchasilim meirim kolon laatzmo mafresh. You see, that's a Rashi. That's exactly what the Rashi is coming also to bring out. Laatzmo mafresh, for himself he selects kolon lechelko as his portion. Okay, so this is one. Now there are many. Who is the subject of this pasuk? Remember, Shlomo HaMelech is speaking. Who is Shlomo referring to when he says Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu? So there are many different interpretations. One is he's referring to his father. He's referring to David. David, the Gemara says, David Lamad Me'achitofel. I'll read the entire Medrash. Haloi made mechaveroi perik echod oy halacha achas the pasuk echod oy dibur echad. Person learns from his friend one halacha, one pasuk, one dibur, even one single thing. Tsarich linhoik boy kovait. You have to give honor to that person. Shekain, what's the source for this? David. David learned from Achitofel two things. And due to these two things he learned, he called him Rabbi Alufoi Umi Yudo. V'ato enosh ki erki alufi umi yudoi. We find that David gave him, to him, he gave his Rebbe Achitofel very great honor, even though he learned from only a small amount of knowledge. So therefore, haloi dvarim kal v'chaymer. Ma David melech Yisrael. David is the greatest of all people, and David the king is the one. See, this is the powerful Musar of the Medrash come to bring out how far this goes. The king. The essence of a king is a person who is deserving of kavod. The king is the kavod of the country. The king is the one to whom kavod goes, and the king does not necessarily give out kavod. But yet, David, who is the greatest, David Melech Yisrael Shloiloman Mechitovel Del Shnei Devarim Bilvad, yet Kira'o, he called Achitofel Alufoi Ume Yudo, two different terms, which mean my teacher and my acquaintance, the one that has taught me wisdom. So Allah has come when you learn from your friend. If you're not a king and you're not a person that has to be makbid on your kavod, and so how much more so does a person have an obligation to give kavod to a person to whom he has taught him something? How much more so must a person be careful to give kavod? And how do we know this? V'in kavod ela Torah. Okay, v'kama shesarach l'nag v'kavod v'im kavod bol al atchaisik b'tarish nemar v'kavod chacham chalu. Okay, fine, let's leave that. Okay, the Gemara also to give another example in reference to Yisro, when he came to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yetzei Moshe likras chosno. Everyone knows this Rashi, when Moshe went out to greet him, then Aaron went out to greet him, then Nadav Avi went out to greet him, and then the Shivim Zakenim went out to greet him, and if the Shivim Zakenim went out to greet him, so you can imagine the whole Klaishal wasn't very curious, and the whole Klaishal went out to give him. This Pasuk was fulfilled in reference to Yisro. Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu. It was fully fulfilled. There was no person in the history of the world that received kavod like Yisro. Okay, this is a very interesting concept. You would not necessarily think that he would be the prime example of to whom this was fulfilled. But yeah, that's what Chachamim say. Yisro was a Chacham. He was a Chacham. In fact, he taught due to him different ideas in the system of justice system was established due to the wisdom of Yisro, and to him it was fulfilled. Kavod Chachamim Yinchalu, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Vaviu, the Shivim Zakenim, and then the entire Klal Yisrael. It was a process. Also, it represents a concept that it wasn't just one shot. It was a process. First Moshe, then Aaron. There was a system in how the kavod was given. Okay. Just like we find that Yisro, he put a system into play in the justice system. There are a davar hakatan and a davar hagadol. There's an entire hierarchy of judges. You just don't go to the Supreme Court. You first go to the lower court, and then that goes to the next court, and so on and so forth. There was an entire hierarchy of courts until you reach the ultimate authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, who, if Moshe did not know, he would himself go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask through the Urim V'Tumim. Likewise, the kavod that Yisrael received, Chazal make a point in telling us that it was done through a systematic way. It didn't just happen that in one shot the whole world was watching. First, Moshe gave kavod. That inspired Aaron to follow. That inspired the Nadav Avihu. That inspired the Sgan Kohanim. That inspired the Shivim Zikhanim. And that in turn inspired the entire Klal Yisrael. Notice it's a system that goes from top down, not from bottom up. Yisro instituted in the system of justice a system that's from bottom up. first the lower courts, then you go to the higher court, higher and higher until you reach the ultimate authority. Nida keneged nida, this that he did in honor in to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be a system of justice, he received honor in the opposite method, which you have to, I guess there's some logic behind that and how a person receives kavod. You first get kavod by the highest authority in Klal Yisrael, and then it trickles down to the next madrega, Aaron. He was the next level. Then came his children, who were the Saganim. They were the assistants. Then came the Shivim Zakenim. Then came the rest of Klal Yisrael. So you do see a parallel between Yisrael and the kavod that he received, in far as it being done in a systematic way, it wasn't just a one-shot deal, a one moment. Okay, now we have another Mam Chazal. This is a very important Chazal. This has many, many midrash. I'm just going to give you a conglomerate of all of these midrashim, that this pasuk also is very much emphasized in reference to Yavetz. Okay, Yavetz. Who is Yavetz? Yavetz was a person that lived 36 generations from the beginning of the world. And so we learn in Divrei Hayamim. We have, I'll read you what it says here, these words. Let me find it, a different midrashim. Okay, let me start with this. Kavod chachamim yinchal. This is a medrash in Shemos Rabbah. Ein kavod ella Torah. Kavod refers to Talmidei Chacham Torah. Teidelecha. I'll prove this to you. Mo oimer b'roish sefer divrei hayamim. Divrei hayam begins with Adam. Remember that?
Yes.
We learned Adam, Sheis, Enosh, and it begins to go down to all the generations. V'chein kulam. The Ein Ata Motzei Be'ech Mehem, we don't find Kavod, we don't find the concept of Kavod. Ach Magil Yavetz, who was 36 generations from the time of creation, from Adam Rishon, 36 generations from Adam, Shenemar Vayyavetz Nichbod Me'echov. The first person that on record in the history of the world with whom we find Kavod is Yavetz. Lama Kosov by Kavod. Why does the Torah ascribe kavod to Yavetz? Sh'al b'zchus she'yoga b'Torah, because he toiled in Torah, and that's why it was fulfilled with him the pasuk of kavod chachamim yinchalu. He was mispal Yavetz was the first person. Rav Moshe learned from him the first person that was mispalel to be mispalel for talmidim. Okay, Chazal learned from this, Rav Moshe learned that a person should be mispalel to have talmidim. Yavetz was said that if you're not going to give me talmidim, I don't want to live. I don't remember the exact name of Chazal, but he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to have talmidim. If I don't have an opportunity to give shiurim to talmidim, my life is not worth living. That's what he said. And he was mispalel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him his request. And he provided him with the descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, no one loved Torah more than Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants, the Canaan, from Canaan, they became his Talmidim. And it was a good shirch. It was a good zivuk. He was able to give over, and they were mekabel. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, from this we see that a person should be mispalel to have talmidim, just like Yavetz. Rav David Cohn on here on Coney Island Avenue. So the name of his shul is Gavul Yavetz, and he has about probably 100 svarim. I'm not exaggerating. That all of them are called something with the word Yavetz, the Yavetz Haggadah, and Simchas Yavetz. And Birchas Yavetz, he has all of his Svarim, he has the word, not all of his Svarim, but many Svarim, he has the word Yavetz, the ones on Tefillah, my favorite Svarim he has on Tefillah, Masas Kapai, doesn't have the word Yavetz. And then he has, and the other one, Oyel David, he has, I think 7 volumes on Tanakh, on Nevi'im Ksuvim. But many of his Svarim have the word Yavetz, and all and in his Hakdom, he basically says that he very much likes this Chazal of Yavetz. Yavetz was the one that was mefalpel, he was omel b'Torah, not just privately, but with Talmidim. And being that he loved Torah, he was the one, the idea of giving over to a next generation, to a Talmidim, is what Chazal say to such a person, you deserve to be fulfilled. Kavoid chachamim inchal. Yeah.
Maybe, as well, even though this medrash does not mention about Talmidim, maybe that's... the literal meaning of yinchalu in this particular instance. Because he gives over to the next generation.
Oh, exactly. That's why it's midi k'neged midi. Excellent. It's midi k'neged midi. Because the question we began with, why is it called yinchal? They inherit. Why is there this concept of Yerusha with regard to kavod? Yerusha is something which is one generation to the next. So it's midi k'neged midi. Being that this pasuk is fulfilled specifically in regard to Yavetz. Yavetz gave over his Torah knowledge to Talmidim, to the next generation, to younger people, or even but to give it over. Mida connected me, the kavod is something that was given over to him, was bequeathed to him by others. I guess the nature of kavod is something you need another person to have kavod. You can't have kavod, you can't be all alone for honor. The essence of honor is other people acknowledging your greatness. You could sit home and look at the walls and say, I'm great. What does it do for you? You can look in the mirror. Okay. You can put yourself out there. It's not people will laugh at you. Kavod has to come from another source. That is the essence of kavod. Yavetz was the one that realized the importance of giving over to others. Torah does not have the same value when it's alone. When it's stored, you have to give it over. Okay, the other medrash is a little more explicit. Let me, I found it over here. It's also in Shmos Rabbah. It says, Oyesher, it's a different pasuk, but Oyesher v'chavon iti, choin osek utstaka, at motse, here it goes on. Here's the medrash, says, lamid vav doros. May Adam ad Yabetz until Yabetz. V'loik siv becha mehem kavod. And divrei hayem does not the word kavod until we get to Yabetz. Elog b'Yabetz nemar. V'Yabetz nichbad me echav. He was honored from his brethren. His brothers gave him honor. V'lama siv by kavod. Here the medrash concludes. Shahoyet talmud chacham makil. Kihilois, he gathered assemblies, v'dorish tami hatabarabim, and he expounded. Shenemar, u'mishpachos soifrim yoshve yabetz. Families of scribes, yoshve those that sat, yabetz, those that sat in the presence of yabetz.
It doesn't necessarily mean you gave chachma, it means you gave kavod
ha'chachma. No, it doesn't say that.
It says kavod
ha'chachma. He was a recipient. He was the recipient of kavod because he gave us, because he gave kavod. So the ultimate.
You give over chachma,
it
depends on the person. I hear what you're saying. You can't make a person smart.
Okay, you're saying it's.
You make him appreciate.
Okay, so you
covered. He gave over to respect someone who was knowledgeable.
Okay,
you covered that. You give over that. You should respect people with knowledge. That respect is a very.
Okay, you're saying something very profound. You're saying ezel mechubot hamechabed, and teaching Torah means you're giving kavod. You're giving over the kavod of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving over the kavod of Chachamim. People, you're giving over. You're teaching these people to have respect for Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, very good. It's a very beautiful. Right. It's more. You're giving over an appreciation for the Hashem, for His Torah, for the Talmidei Chachamim. So by teaching Torah, you're giving kavod, and by giving kavod, Nemela. It comes right back to you. Boomerangs back to you. Excellent. It's a very beautiful idea. Okay, now let's. Now, by the way, this idea, you should know, this idea is not the only one. The first one, the Medrash says that the first one that the Torah describes with the term kavod is Yabetz. But that, the first one to invent kavod, who's the inventor of kavod? This is a whole different idea, was Nimrod. Nimrod was the first one who was an object of kavod. Who is the one that gave him kavod? Who was mechabed him? Terach. Terach. Terach, the father of Avram, was a time in the world where it was just a. It was Ish Hayosha Be'in of Yaseh. It was a Oilam of Hefkerus. And Terach and Nimrod, they invented this concept, there should be a king. Gibor Tzai Lefnei Hashem. There should be a leader. And leadership was defined by physical power, not by Chochmas Hashem. But Ein Melech B'loyam, you can't have a Gibar if you're not going to have a person who preaches. The one that was the ringleader, the one that went and recruited people to serve as servants and to give kavod to Nimrod was Terach.
Wasn't he doing that even before?
What?
Like with the Migdal? Wasn't he the instigator of that as well? Wasn't he already a leader in the world?
Nimrod?
Yeah.
Maybe that's when it started. I don't know the details of the exact time and how everything came together, but this is what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says that Terach was the one that invented the concept of kavod in this world. And he applied it to this wicked man, Nimrod. That is one of the reasons why. Where does Malchus come from? Malchus come out. Well, Klal Yisrael comes from Avraham. Where does Malchus come from? From David. Where does David come from? From Moab. Who does Moab come from? Lot. Who does Lot come from? Choron. Who is Choron? Choron is the son of Terach. He's the brother of Avraham. He's the brother of Avraham. Avraham and Choron were brothers, but Avraham did not. It was the Malchus. The essence of Malchus is kavod, and that. What do we have in common with Terach in the Haggadah? You know, we go back. Terach avi Avraham. Terach was a bit of a dezara. At the end of his life, we have a tradition, he did tshuva. He did tshuva, Hashem told Avraham, you're going to go to your father, meaning your father did tshuva before he died. And there's, so we learn from that, that we don't know what this means exactly. Terech is not one of the avos, chas v'shalom. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But yet Chazal do, to some degree, give credit, they do acknowledge there's something called Terech. Don't forget about him. He does exist in part of Klal Yisrael. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to have any zecher of Terach in Klal Yisrael? Again, he's not an Av. Don't take this out of context. He's not one of the Avos. But why would Chazal want to go and bring him into the picture? The answer is because there's something that Terach invented, which was incorporated into Klal Yisrael, which is essential for our essence. And that is the concept of kavod. Terach invented kavod, and he gave kavod to Nimrod. It was misguided. It was given to the wrong person. But the concept is necessary, and it came out in the nation of Moab, in David, who became the Melech of Klal Yisrael, to whom the whole essence of a Melech is the concept of kavod. Now, what the Pasuk here is telling us, though, in this Pasuk, in all these various midrashim, it's very nice to have kavod, and it's indeed true that it's a beautiful concept, but we're only going to actually give kavod to a person that uses kavod in the context of Torah. Kavod existed from the time of Terach, but kavod chachamim yinchalu, we're only going to highlight it with regard to Yavetz, because Yavetz use this concept in regard to a positive way in the ways of Torah. Okay, now there's one of the very, very important Chazal. Okay, it's not a Medrash, but it's a theme which I don't even remember where I saw this. It is a Chazal, but it ties in very well into this Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Kavod Chamin Cholu, Chsilim Meirim Kolon. So Meirim, we learn in the Mitzudos, and the Rashi says, Mafresh la'atzma mafresh. Okay, Rashi's words are, the word mer means to select, to take, to acquire. The fool takes for himself shame. Merim. And the Mitzudos, even look at the Mitzudos, Sion Miloshon Teruma v'hafrasha. Now, if you would not see this Mitzudos and this Rashi, you would probably suggest the word merim means to elevate. It means to uplift. Ram. To go very high. Okay, well, borrowing that you're uplifting, you're separating, but that's not really what it means. Mer means to be in a high position. And indeed, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not, when Hashem wants to punish Klal Yisrael, he takes the nation and he elevates them all the way to the top, so that Klal Yisrael should not suffer at the hands of a person or nation that is despised in the world. Classic example is Haman. Before Haman had an opportunity to make a gzeru lahash v'lahar this kol ha'yehudim, he was elevated to be the Mishnah l'melech. Haman, what do you say in the Megillah that at that time? Gidal ha'melech es Haman ben Hamdasa, he was elevated to the highest position in government. A then he was able to go and harass Klal Yisrael. So that's what it's over here, that when before Kolon, before a creature, a government, an individual suffers Kolon, suffers shame, disgrace, Haman ultimately was destroyed. He was killed, he was hung, and his 10 sons, he was obliterated. He suffered Kolon because of what he wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. Before the Kolon comes, Meirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates them in society, they should be exalted. The higher you go, the lower you fall. It's an aliyah, letzarech yirida.
To paraphrase the Maharal, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Exactly. Okay. So it's like a yirida letzarech aliyah. Here it's an aliyah, letzarech yirida. And that idea is expressed in this expression, Meirim Koloin. Okay, there's one more interesting medrash. I don't know exactly what this means, but I'll read it to you. I found this very interesting. About a Kavod Chacham Yinchalu, Omar, or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar. This is a Gemara in Bava Basra, and Daf Tes. Kol Harogilasois Tzedakah. Any individual who is rogel, who is accustomed to give tzedakah, what is the reward Hashem gives him in this world? Zoyche haven loy banim bali chochma. He'll have children that are bali chochma, that are wise. Bali oisher, his children will be rich. Bali agada, and will be bali agada. Very bizarre chazal. Okay, one more time. Libali chochma, they'll be wise, they'll be wealthy. And they will be Bale Agoda. What does that mean, Bale Agoda? People, they know Ein Yaakov. They became Ein Yaakov. They became in learning Midrashim. So the Gemara goes and the Gemara explains. Bale Chochma. How do one will be Bale Chochma? This is in the Pasuk. Roidev Tzedakah. A person who pursues Tzedakah. He's accustomed to give Tzedakah. V'chesed and kindness. Yimtza Chaim. He will find life. And Chaim... Okay, you have to go into the Midrash and understand Chaim refers to Chochma. Chaim is, there are various psukim in Tanakh that tell us that Chaim, life, Eitz Chaim Hilamachazikim Ba, you can find in many lists of psukim that Chochma is called an Eitz Chaim, it's life. Okay, very good. Bali Oysher. Hayna will be Bali Oysher. So it's Yimsa will find that it says Tzedakah, that same exact pasuk. Roidev Tzedakah V'chesed Yimsa. Yimsa Tzedakah V'chavah. Okay, it's another pasuk. They will find, I think it's in that same, it's in Mishnah. It's later on. I'm coming up later on in Perek Chaf Aleph. Perek Chaf Aleph, let me actually go there right now, make sure, let's see what it says. Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's see what it says. Yeah, here it is. Okay, Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Chaf Aleph. 21:21. Roideth Tzedakah V'chesed Yimsa Chayim. Chaim is Chochma. You'll have children. That will be Chochma. Tzedakah v'chavot. And they will be Tzedakah min the Bale Oysher. They'll be rich. And Chavot is going to be the Bale Agod. That's the key. This pasuk really is key. That's essential. We'll also review. The Gemara says, if you are Roideif Tz'achar giving Tzedakah, you will merit three blessings. Children. That will be Bale Chochma, Bale Oysher, and Bale Agada. How do you know they're going to be Bale Chochma? They're going to be wise? It says Yimsa Chayim. How do you know they're going to be wealthy? It says Tzedakah. It means they'll be able to give Tzedakah to other people, which means they'll be very wealthy. And then it says V'chavod. So here's the key point we want to make is, what does it mean Kavod? Kavod means Bale Agada. Because if you are a Bale Agada, you know, you're an expert in homiletics. You're a good speaker. You'll speak at the Siyum HaShas, and everyone will give kavod. They'll give you honor. You'll automatically become an ish mechubad. Someone who is a bal agada automatically is an ish mechubad. That's what it says in the Gemara. Bal agada the siv yimsa. The last one is kavod. Ksiv hacha v'chavod. Uchsiv hasam. And it says here in our pasuk in Perek Gimel, the last pasuk in Perek Gimel, kavod chachamim yinchalu. Chachamim will inherit kavod, and this kavod refers to what the people reciprocate when you give over homiletic teachings, because
agada in the sense of magid.
Exactly. Okay, that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. And the Gemara, we illustrate this. He has a very famous Gemara. Let me read the Gemara. The Gemara tells the story. Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Nizdam l'makom echad. Okay, these two people, they went to visit one hotel. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba darash b'halacha. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he gave a halacha shir. Everyone comes, he's giving a sugya, bavakama, shor, shenoga chesapa. I'm going to teach you all the sugya and ribbis. I teach you about mitzvah, like halacha, a brisk shir. Sveidinen, a briska halacha shir. That was the shir. Rabbi Avohu, he gave a shir in the parsha. Darash the agada. He gave a shir in the agada. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechta the so to daf men. He nichu hakol es Rabbi Chiya bar Abba uboitzel Rabbi Avohu. Everyone abandoned Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. They abandoned him. No one wanted to go to the Shirin Halacha. And everyone went to hear the Shirin and Agada. That's where they all went. Uvo Eitzel Rabbi Avohu.
More entertaining.
More, exactly. So in other words, who did they give kavod to? Who did the kavod go? Who did they write up in the newspapers? Who gave a fantastic shir? They wrote up Rabbi Avohu. Because he gave the Dvar Agada. And then you see from this, when there's a choice in Halach and Agada, people go to Agada, and the people who give the Agada, they become the Balei Kavod. They get the honor. Whereas the Balei Chochma, the people who are wise, because it takes a lot more Chochma to give a share in Halacha, it's much more difficult. It's hard to understand, and it's much more Chochma. They don't get the Kavod. So here the reward for giving Tzedakah is you'll have everything. There'll be Balei Chochma, Bali Oysher and Bali Kavod, but when it says just to explain Shah in the Gemara, when it says in the Gemara that the children will be Bali Agoda, we know that from the word Kavod, because when there is Agoda, then there is Kavod. When there's only Halacha, you can't expect to get Kavod. Okay, what? It used to be, well, Shabbos Shu'ajash traditionally, well, it used to be Musar. And Shabbos Chagodl was Halacha. And now it turned into a both of them are Divrei Agada. The rabbi used to, in the ancient times, the rabbi only spoke twice a year. Shabbos Shuv and Shabbos Chagodl. The rabbi did not give a sermon every Shabbos. This is a new thing. This is a new thing, a sign of the times, where a rabbi gives a drush every Shabbos. It used to only be Shabbos Hagadol, Shabbos Shuva. Okay, but this is the Chazal. The Kavod is Balei Agada. Let's go to the next Perek. Okay, that concludes Pasuk Lamed Hey. Now we go to Perek Dalet. Shimu Vanim Musar Av. Listen, my children, to the Musar, to the rebuke, to the chastisement of the father. V'hakshivu l'daspin, and understand the knowledge of one thing I left. I just want to tell you one quick other thing I left about kavod. Kavod chacham yinchalu davarach. This is not really on the mark 100%. But elu, who is the kavod? Who are the chachamim? This refers specifically to the entire Klal Yisrael. At what point in time in their history? At the time of Matan Torah. Oh, and the pasuk includes the kasilim, the fools, meirim kolon. They selected shame for themselves. This refers to the umos ha'olam when they rejected the Torah. Had everyone, the whole world, had an opportunity to accept to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he gave Torah, Klal Yisrael, he presented the Torah to the umos ha'olam, and he asked them, "Would you like to receive the Torah?" And they all said, "No." What does it say in the Torah? And when they were told a specific mitzvah, they rejected the entire Torah. At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, they realized they made a big mistake, and instead of taking all honor for themselves, they took shame for themselves. Klal Yisrael, they would fulfill this pasuk of Matan Torah, Kavod Chachamim Chalu, and the Gemara says that Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kshishim ribo shel malachi hasharis yardu in HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'sinai v'ha yunayis dematarvis k'sarim b'rosh k'olech v'yachad, and tied crowns on the head of each individual. Now what are the crowns? The crowns are Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana kishamdu yishol har sinai v'yamru nasa v'nishma k'negin nasa v'nishma. They receive two crowns. What are the two crowns? The tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel yad is k'negin the nasa, and the tefillin shel rosh is k'neged the nishma, is to understand. We'll first do, and we will understand. You put on the tefillin shel yad before you put on the tefillin shel rosh. Why are the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh called crowns? How many words are there in each of the tefillin? There are four parashios. Shema, v'hoya im shemaya, kadish v'hoya ki yivyacha. How many? Or the other way around. It's kadish v'hoyaki v'hoyaki yivyacha shma v'hoyim shemaya. How many words are there in total in all four parashios? Anyone want to guess how many words? You want to make a quick calculation? No. 403. Count. Next time you daven, count the words of shma and v'hoyim shemaya, kadish v'hoyaki yivyacha. 403. What is 403? Tog. Or tag. Tag. What is a tag? A crown. On the oisios, the alephes, you put tagim. Right? There are three tagim on a zayin. Every letter has a certain number of tagim. Some do, some don't. A tag. So it fits in with this Mamre Chazal. This pasuk of kavod, chacham yinchalu, but the kesilim, the merim koloin, refers to the Matan Torah. The Umos Olam rejected the Torah, and by doing so they took for themselves shame. But Klal Yisrael, by saying Nasa v'nishma, they inherited Kavod. Kavod is always expressed in terms of the Keser Shel Torah, the Keser, and the Keser is Nasa v'nishma, and the two Ksarim are the Tfilin Shel Yad, Tfilin Shel Rosh, which has 403 words, which is the tag. The tag is the keser. Alright, let's now go to Perek Dalet. Shimu vonim musar of. Listen, my children, to the musar through chastisement of the father. The akshivu ladaspin, understand the understanding of knowledge. Let's take a look at the mitzudos pasuk aleph. Shimu vonim atem bni bnei kelchai. You, my children, who are children of the living God. Shimu the musar ha'av shebashamayim hamiyaser al habina. Listen to the Musar of the Father in heaven. Who is the Father? The Father here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Shlomo here saying, don't listen to me. I'm not talking to you. That's my child talking. I am representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaMiyasa al HaBina, who gives Musar, rebuke, chastisement with regard to Bina, understanding. V'akshiv l'das osa, pay close attention to understand knowledge. Rashi, Shimu bonim musar av. Rashi says the same thing. The father here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now what is the Torah? Ki lekach tov. This is one of the most popular psukim in the entire Sefer Mishlei. Ki lekach tov nesati lochem torasi al tazav. I've given you a lekach, a teaching, which is tov. I have given you my torasi. Al tazovu, with regard to my Torah, do not abandon it. Let's see the mitzudos. Ki lekach toiv ko yoimar bimusaro. So does Hashem say in His rebuke, in His chastisement. Halo nasati lechem limu toiv. I have given you a good teaching. Umechukam. It's a wise teaching. Al ta'azu es hatera hahi. Do not abandon it. Mitzudos adds in the word umechukam. Okay, does not say that word in the pasuk, but he adds that in. Rashi nasati lechem hanavi mitznabei umedaber. The navi, all of a sudden, Rashi tells us that Shlomo HaMelech is a navi. Is that really so? That is very controversial. Did Shlomo HaMelech have the status of a navi? Shlomo HaMelech certainly had the status. What? So.
Did we say Shira Shirin was in the book?
So are any of the books of Shlomo, are any of the books of Shlomo part of the Ksuvim, a part of the Nevi'im? We have three different sections of the Torah. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. So all of Shlomo's books are part of Ksuvim. They're not part of Nevi'im, which according to many commentators means that there are different madrigals. We don't know what these things are at all. I mean, this is totally way beyond us. But there's something called Nevuah, and there is something called Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh does not reach the madrigal of Nevuah. That's one interpretation. Some say no, there's really no difference. It's just a question of, like we said, was it meant to be said or was it meant to be written? But whatever the case is, here Rashi says Hanavi Misnabe, L'chor, referring here to Shlomo, and we're calling him a Navi and Misnabe. This is a very important Rashi in reference to understanding why certain books are part of Kesuvim and they're not part of Nevi'im. You must not ignore this Rashi, where Rashi is telling us that the pasuk here is Nevuah. Hanavi misnabe umedaber b'shluchusa shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'harehu kipiv, and this Navi is the mouthpiece of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But if that's really true, then why is this pasuk? What is it doing here in Sefer in Ksuvim when it should be in Sifrei Nevi'im? So Rashi, I want to answer, is that really the truth is in the Ksuvim, it is all prophecy. It's just that we call it Ksuvim. It's a different type of prophecy, a prophecy that was not spoken. It was a prophecy that it was only meant to be written and recorded for all generations.
Esther is Ksuvim,
yeah. What? Esther, well, that's the question. That's all. It's all part of this. It's all part... It's all part of this issue. What is?
Could we say that there's a difference between the word that you talk and the word that you write?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. That's exactly what I said. That one approach is that it's all the same. Everything in Ksuvim is all really exactly. It's all prophecy. It's the madrega that the individual achieved, reached in order to. To in order for these ideas to be revealed are exactly the same as it was for the Nevi'im in Sifrei Nevi'im. It's just the purpose was a different purpose. In the books of Nevi'im were meant to be said, whereas the things that are in Ksuvim were never meant to be said. It was only meant to be written. But again, the madrega that the individual reached in order to have a revelation of what to say, what to speak, what to write, what to say, is exactly the same.
What Rav Forsman said, that Rashi is referring to the author of this Sefer, rather than the method of transmission, Nasati Lachem.
He's referring to Moshe.
Nasati
Lachem
for Moshe. I gave you a Torah for Moshe.
Or even Navi, for that matter.
Hanavi Misnabe. What does that mean?
Who is the Navi?
Who is the Navi? What?
Who is he referring to then?
Hanavi Misnabe. Who is the Navi?
Which Nasati Lachem?
Identify this Navi. It says here in the pasuk, Nasati Lachem, Hanavi Misnabe. Umedaber.
In a general sense. Not only did I transmit, but my Nevi'im transmitted.
The Torah was given and then it was handed down to be learned.
The obvious question is, someone is writing this. Someone's writing this pasuk. Or someone is saying this pasuk. And it says, I have given. No human being gives the Torah. The Torah is given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the person that's speaking is the mouthpiece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another here. Who is the one that is saying these words? You want to tell me that Shlomo never really said these words and he just quoted what Moshe Rabbeinu said? He's quoting from a prior prophet, maybe an Achnami, maybe what he's saying over here. I'm just repeating what a prophet, an unnamed prophet said a couple of years, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. I'm just recording it in my book. Maybe, but simply on a very simple level, Hanavi Misnabe, the author of the book, he's original.
He's going to call it Tobrasi.
Well, he's saying on my mouth. No, he's saying that my mouth. That's exactly what Rashi says. He's a Navi. The Navi is in the place. Hashem is speaking. Hare Hu Kipiv.
So you're saying Shlomo Melch is talking here like Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Devarim.
Yes. Oh. Yes. And Rashi is telling us that Shlomo HaMelech has the status of a Navi. And that begs the question, if you're called a Navi, so why is your book written part of Kesuvim and not part of Sifrei Nevi'im?
And you're not on the roster.
You're not on the roster of being one of the Nevi'im. That's a tough question. Even though Shlomo HaMelech was way before all of the other prophets. I mean, you talk about Yeshaya and all the Treyasa. What? They're early ones also, but there are many prophets that were much later, that were 400 years later.
Devorah HaNevi was before.
But all of the Troyasa, most of the prophets in Troyasa, they lived during the time of the middle of the Bayis Rishon, or the end of the Bayis Rishon, which was between 200 and 400 years from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So what could be so terrible of Shlomo HaMelech being a Navi? But if he really is a Navi, how come we don't have any books of his, or any messages, any speeches of his, which are part of the prophets? So you want to say that we do, because in Sefer Shmuel, when he builds the Beis HaMikdash, he's Mispalel, and he gives a speech to Klal Yisrael, and that speech is called the prophecy. Okay, maybe that speech is called the prophecy, but what about his books? His books are not recorded as part of the prophets, as part of the Deem, as part of the Ksuvim. Okay, so I'm just trying to make this one, because this is a major, major issue among the Rishonim in trying to understand what qualifies as a book that goes into the section called Ksuvim.
Did Hashem speak to these things in
Mishlei? What? Well, obviously, to some degree, Hashem spoke. It's either going to be, everyone agrees that there was a revelation, whether it's going to be called, or we called Nevuah prophecy, or what we called Ruach HaKodesh. There is this thing, as far as we're concerned, there is no difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, because we have no clue what either of these things are. All we know is this is just some type of divine communication. And then even within Nevuah, Chazal tell us there's a Nevuah b'asplak Maria ha-mi'ira, b'asplak Maria she'ena mi'ira. Moshe Rabbeinu was called the Av HaNevim. When he saw revelations, it was like looking through clear glass. It wasn't tinted. When the later prophets saw revelations, they were looking, it was hard to see. The glass was colored. It was fogged. It was opaque or frosted. Frosted. Looking like through these windows, right? These windows over here. It was not clear. So we see that even within prophecy, it's not all the same. There are many different madrigals. Then we go down to something called Ruach HaKodesh. But here we have Ksuvim, here we have over here what the Rashi says. I just want to make that point. It's not clear. Okay. So Lekach Tov Noselchem Tarasi Alta. So this is Rashi and the Mitzvah stuff. Let's go to some of the popular Midrashim. Yeah.
B'marev l'vechida. Yeah. So, is
Nevi'ah,
Hashem literally speaks to
someone? Well, Hashem, Miriam Lo was also a Nevi'ah, right? Miriam HaNevi'ah, don't we say Miriam Miriam also? But obviously Hashem says to Miriam that Moshe is on a higher madrega than you. Moshe Rabbeinu, his form of prophecy is greater. It's Peh El Peh. It's B'marev V'loy B'chidois. There are no riddles. There are no mishalim. It's super, super clear.
What is the physical interaction?
I don't know. I do not know. I have no clue. I have no idea. We don't know what these things mean. The Rambam talks about it. The Rambam says that a regular Navi, not Moshe, but he used to prophecy, he was not in control of his body. He was basically a mouthpiece. He shut down. His mind shut down, and he was just a vehicle to bring forth Hashem's message. He was not conscious. He was deep asleep. His mouth was moving through a spirit that came within him. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rambam says, was awake, fully awake. And he was talking, he was conscious, and the Ruach HaKodesh was coming through his mouth, but he was fully aware of what was going on. So you see that the Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different madrega. What then is Ruach HaKodesh? Esther wrote, Megillas Esther with the Anshei Knesset HaKodesh, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. This also means some type of divine revelation. Okay, I don't know, but I just wanted to point out this Rashi. You can't go learn the sugya of the difference of Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, without taking a good, hard look at this Rashi and seeing what it says. Very explicit. Hanavi misnabei umadabe b'shlichusa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'arehu kepiv, and yet this pasuk here appears in Kisuvim. Now we have a famous, many famous midrash, ki lekach tov nasati lechem. Lekach means, we simply translate as a teaching, but lekach also means business. Let me read you the Psikta Zutrasi. Where it says, my lekach tov, he zoi ha-tov, he nikri, why is called the lekach? Ela lefi shebenok shebiolam shnei tagodim. Okay, we want to say lekach means a purchase. Lekach means something that you buy, something that you take for money. When you buy something, you're sad. Why are you sad? Because you gave away your hard-earned money. your bank account is empty. You have in your possession an object.
Usually the object that you want is more important to you than the money.
It's more important, but you still suffer a loss that the money is no longer in your bank account. The person who has sold you the object, okay, he has in his possession money, but he no longer has in his possession that object which obviously had meaning to him at some point in time in his life. So you always sad. But when it comes to Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, but he's not sad. Hashem, in fact, is happy. Hashem is not, that's the nature. Let's see over here what it says. My lekach toiv. Let me read the words of the Zohi Torah Tashaychi. Why is it called lekach toiv? El lefi shabinek shabiyolam shnei tagim two merchants. Markham shnei and shnei many tagaros two different types of merchandise. Viachlifu zel ze ma sheyesh biyad ze ein biyad ze. Aval atoira gzuntait im odam shoyne halacha zoh bechaver shoyne halacha cheres. Vilimdu ze ze nimsa biyad ze shtayim u biyad ze shtayim lekach nikras lekach toiv. No one loses. If I teach you what I know in exchange for you spending the time and teaching me what you know, we both come out ahead. We both come out in the green. Right? We both come out. I didn't lose. By me teaching you what I know, did I lose anything? I didn't lose anything. Whatever I knew yesterday, I know today. What have I gained? I've gained what you know, I also know. You have gained what I know. Have you lost anything? No. That's why Torah is called lekach toiv. You go and you make an exchange. You exchange knowledge. I'll teach you what I know in exchange for you teaching me what you know. It's a lekach toiv because no one walks away sad. No one walks away losing anything. Not like a regular business transaction where a person walks away without what he had before. He has something new. But what he had before, he's lacking, and that can bring a person to a state of sadness. Okay, that's one interpretation. But the interpretation really is much deeper, because we know this. In fact, it's this week's parasha, Torah lav b'shamayim hi. Torah is not in heaven. What does that mean, Torah lav b'shamayim hi? That until the time of Matan Torah, who makes decision? Who is the one that decides halacha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim. Hashem makes all the halachic decisions. You have a question, halacha, is it mutter or aser? So the Beis Din Shalmaila will decide. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael Torah at Har Sinai, we have this principle, Torah Lav Hashamayim. The one that makes the decisions are the people that are down here on earth. And even if the Beis Din Shalmaila disagrees, their understanding, they are Talmidei Chacham, people who are in heaven, who they understand the halacha differently, their conclusion is different, it doesn't make a difference. They have to punish and reward based upon the way the Torah is interpreted and understood and decided upon by the Beis Din Shel Mata. Okay, he walked through a mayor, he knows this good and well, the Tana Shel Achnai. This entire sugya is really brought out by the honor, the oven of Tana Shel Achnai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there the Gemara illustrates HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the authority of the Torah to the people on this world. So what has happened? When Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem lost. He indeed lost out. He lost control over its interpretation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be sad. Until now, I had the Torah. I had control over its interpretation. By me giving the Torah to Hashem, giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hashem has lost. Hashem maybe has gained that he has a nation. He has a Klal Yisrael that has pledged their allegiance to him by saying Naaseh v'nishma, has taken an oath by Har Sinai that they're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in exchange for receiving that in exchange for HaKadosh Baruch Hu receiving us as a nation that's loyal to him, he lost the control of the interpretation of the Torah. Isn't that correct? So it's like a regular business transaction. It's a regular business transaction. Hashem says, it doesn't matter. I'm not like a human being. Human beings, when you engage in a transaction and you lose and you gain, I give away my money and I get an object, or I give away an object to get money, it's not toiv because you feel bad, you've lost. Hashem says, I'm meichel. Don't worry about it. I'm very happy to give up control of my Torah in exchange for Klal Yisrael becoming my nation. Ki lekach toiv nasati lochem, the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he looks at this arrangement, is toiv in Hashem's eyes relative to a man would view such a transaction.
Rabbi, who's to say that Hashem is happy with the way we're interpreting it?
That's exactly what Hashem says. No matter what you do, I accept that to be halach. That's how it is. We're talking about
the idea of a prosbul.
Yeah.
Or a heter yitzka. Who's to say he's maskin?
Hashem is maskin. That's the tradition we have.
But does he like it?
Yes, that's what the pasuk says. That is what the pasuk says. The Navi says, "Ki lekach toiv nasan." Yes, I like it. Toiv is good. Yes, Hashem says, "I do like it. I'm pleased." That's what it says. Hashem has no doubt that it's good. He doesn't control the Torah. That's exactly the point. Hashem has relinquished his control on its interpretation.
Before he relinquished it, served no purpose without human beings, without people.
Not necessarily. We don't know how things work in Shemayim. The Malachim and Moshe came to Shemayim. The Malachim refused to give up the Torah. The Malachim said it's not fair. The Malachim had control. We don't know how these things work. We have a emuna that there's something called Bnei Elokim. Who are the Bnei Elokim? The Malachim. And until then, when Moshe came to receive the Torah, the Malachim said, "We're not giving you the Torah." The question is the question: why? What do the Malachim care? Ner lechad ner lemeya. The Malachim will learn the Daf Gemara, and we'll learn the Daf Gemara. Why did the Malachim? Why did they refuse to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Torah down to this world? The answer is: when Moshe took the Torah down to this world, he took away control. Until that point in time, the ones who made decisions, we don't know what this means exactly, were the Malachim. By Moshe taking the Torah down to this world, the only one that has authority to make a decision to decide halacha is the people on this world. Any modern shaila, are you allowed to use a microphone on Shabbos? Who is to make that decision? The Malachim or people on this world? Until that point in time, the Malachim, there's a new invention, new technology in this world. We will decide if it's mutter or aser, and we'll punish when a person is going to the Malachim that's saying the Ben Shalmala. We will punish if a person violates halacha. We're going to strike him down. We're going to send out a bolt of lightning. We're going to make him suffer. So, but you have to first have law. What's the halacha before? So we'll know. The Torah was given to man. Man makes these decisions, and the decisions of man, the Malachim, have to now decide, punish and reward based upon the way the Torah is interpreted by human beings.
That's Moshe Rabbeinu's whole heart.
Exactly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, I'm not happy with this business arrangement. What have I gotten? It's very good. I've gotten a nation that said Maaseh V'Nishma. I have representatives, ambassadors on this world. Very good. But I paid quite a big price. It was a steep price to pay for an ambassador. I gave up, relinquished control of my Torah. So if you want to go look at the transaction in terms of the way we view business transactions in this world, where there's always going to be a trade-off, I'm giving away my money, or I'm giving away an object for money, it's not tov. It's not purely good, because you're always losing. Hashem says, by me, I don't look at it like that. By me, the value of Klal Yisrael doing my will, saying Naaseh V'Nishma, is so great, it's nothing to me that I lost control over the Torah. Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem. It's a good business deal. A lekach is a business deal, and Hashem says, from my perspective, it is 100% toiv.
Okay.
He did have that. That was part of the deal. He did relinquish it.
He gave us
incredible satisfaction. If we would live in this world with Torah and say it doesn't make a difference, Torah anyway, whatever we do, it's meaningless, because in Shemayim they have the ultimate decision. We would not have satisfaction in our learning Torah. One of the greatest forms of satisfaction you have in learning Torah, lasuke, the highest level of learning, zuntait, is lasuke shmeitza, aliba tehilchasa. And that means your decision has cosmic effects. You're the way a bezin decides halacha. You have a new invention, a new technology, and the batei dinim have to decide if it's mutter aser. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that if I was sitting on the bezin 100 years ago, when electricity came into common use, came available to the common man, and they were deciding on the question, are you allowed to turn on an electrical appliance? Rav Shlomo Zalman Reimach, I would have argued that it's mutter. There's nothing wrong with turning on an electrical appliance on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong.
So there's no wrong.
He wasn't around because the people, the Rabbanim who were lived in that generation, in their understanding of the halacha, it's a new concept, didn't exist, electricity didn't exist, it's something brand new. Not talking about there's like all different types of electronic gadgets, there's electronic, there are lights. Everything has to be judged. But let's talk about a car, just a circuit, just a motor. You have a little fan, like one of these little child fans. So you have a battery, and you turn on the fan, and there's this current that's thrown through a motor and causing it to turn. Is that a malacha deraisa? Is that also a mutter? So, what in Shemayim they're gonna reward people and they're gonna punish people for turning on a fan or not turning on a fan on Shabbos? Who's deciding is it mutter or is it aser? It is the people of this generation, the people that Talmidei Chacham, they make that decision. Torah la bashram, and that is the greatest satisfaction you can have in this world, is to learn Torah, to study Torah, to master a topic, and to make a decision, and your decision is validated by Shemayim. That's what it means. Torah la vashamayimi.
So we have a chlokes here. Who do they validate? Like in the case of Rabbi Zvi, when
you're dealing with major issues, when you have a Sanhedrin, exactly, you go bust the majority. If we have a Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin HaGadol, they would say we don't have that. So in different communities follow their leaders. If you have a very strong community and it's accepted, this is the way things have to be, so your community, you're bound to follow what the Rabbanim say. Another community, you do different. It all depends. But Torah lav Hashemayimi, and Hashem says, I'm giving up my control, and I'm happy. I can say, Lekach toiv nasati lochem. It's a good deal. What am I getting in exchange for this? Hashem says, you said Nasa v'nishma. You saying Nasa v'nishma gives me such satisfaction, it's worth it. Everything is worth it. Yes. Smicha. In order to reenact smicha, this is the Mari Beirav. What? The base. No, there's a Mari Beirav that says that if all of the Talmidei Chacham of the generation would decide to reenact to give smicha to one person, it can be done. It was in fact done. This was done many, many years ago, and it was done in Tzfas, and it was very controversial because they did not include all the Chachamim that were not in Tzfas. They only did it among the local Rabbanim. I don't remember all the details, and this didn't last.
Nowadays,
so they in Eretz, so they gave of Steinsalz. There's a Mosa in Eretz Yisrael, which they call it. They tried to some degree to reenact it in modern times. The giving of Adin Steinsalz. Okay, it's not
in the absence of Sanhedrin.
Yeah,
each community.
Exactly, that's how it's accepted. Today we don't have, but the problem is today we don't have any strong. There's no longer any more strong community. There is no. We live in America. Ish hayosha beinav yaseh. It's a melting pot. We don't have any semblance of a strong community anymore. Everyone has their own rav, and when the rav doesn't, you like his decision, so you can right away have another rav. They're on one block. There are five rabbanim, and I'll follow whatever is convenient for me. That's the way we live today. That's how it is.
So we have a revolution?
I don't know.
Better
this way. Ish hayosh bein avyasa. There are milus and chesroinos. You can't. We don't. Okay.
So, Rabbi, in the absence of a separate.
Yeah.
If a humming of our generation got together and he said, you know what? All of them.
Yes.
Or not all of them. All of them.
The Rambam. The Rambam says all of the Chachomim, all of them have to come together and decide they want to give smicha to one particular.
No. I'm not talking about making a Sanhedrin or reinstating smicha.
Yeah.
I'm saying if, I don't know what the mechanism is to overturn halacha or to change halacha. So whatever that mechanism is.
Yes.
However many Rabbanim would be needed to come together.
Yes.
They could say, you know what? The idea of a protocol that is against the Torah. It's forbidden. Or a heter iska, that is against the Torah. Okay. It's forbidden.
Selling the chametz.
Would that make it that then the halacha would change?
Yes, yes, I believe so. I believe so. But it's not going to happen.
Why not?
because who are we to say it? The Rabbanim of the previous generation have said that it's mutter. No one's going to challenge. We have a principle. Skadnu hadoros. There are certain things that are just not going to go backwards. We're not going to go backwards. Things that are acceptable. We're not going to go backwards and change things. Okay, so this one idea. There are many more ideas. Believe me, we're out of time. We'll have to touch upon them another time.
You can't take money out of the sheep.
No.